This is Ashley Hodge. I'm joined by Sam Taylor on a Sikkim 365 podcast. I'm coming to you in a little bit more of a somber mood than I was last night after Baylor's 77-62 loss to Tennessee. Sam, that was quite the first half, wasn't it? What was Baylor down? 27 at half? Is that right?
Yeah, and if you are listening to this podcast, you are a real diehard. Only the real sickos are tuning in for the few, the proud here tonight. But yeah,
that's right.
That was brutal from the jump. And the second half improvement, it was all kind of, ESPN says it was garbage time by about 7 minutes left in the first half. So we had about 27 minutes of garbage time in that game. So if you sat through that and are listening to the podcast tonight, kudos to you. You are the 1%.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you told me that Baylor lost by 15 to Tennessee after the double overtime win against St. John's, I'd be like, okay, yeah. I mean, I could see that as a potential outcome, but you know, it certainly was disappointing to just lay such an egg in the first half, like we've done multiple times. You know, Gonzaga, obviously, St. John's, and then. You know, really, even I think the A&M scrimmage that we ended up, you know, coming back and you know, really closing out well, but didn't have a good first half against them either. So I think, you know, this is a trend that's troubling. You know, I think these coaches have their hands full. Defensively, a bit of a mess. Obviously, the final score doesn't show too poorly. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, you just let a guy. You know, get 25 points in the first half. I don't think he scored at all in the second half. I believe, you know, he got all his points in the first half, but just went crazy from three.
The Dalton Connect memes were going crazy on Twitter. Everyone comparing him to the next Dalton Connect. And if there's one bright side to yesterday and today, last night, we were the center of the college basketball universe.
Right.
And we showed really, really well. But tonight, pretty loaded slate. There's a good Duke-Arizona game going on right now. This is a loss that I think because of the tired legs, double overtime conversation, only losing by 15, even though I don't think that really tells the story. This one will slide under the radar nationally a little bit. So where we wanted to show up on the national stage, we were a meme last night in a good way. And then tonight, there's not a lot of chatter about this game. So hopefully we can just lick our wounds and be ready for New Orleans on Wednesday.
Yeah, we got to get some things fixed. Obviously, we got a really tough. Well, you don't want to overlook anyone the way we played in the first half, but certainly you hope that they take care of business against New Orleans, and then you know get a lot of things fixed defensively for the UConn game. That's going to be a major challenge. You know, overall, Tennessee ends up scoring 1.26 points per possession. That's you just can't win many games if you're giving up that to Tennessee, because Tennessee's always going to really lock you down defensively. Baylor, you know, to 1.02 points per possession. You know, so some of the stats ended up not being that bad. Like the rebounding was 29-28, although it looked like Tennessee just dominated the glass in the first half. 12 assists, 12 turnovers, you know, not a terrible number, you know, after having nine turnovers at
right.
But, you know, just too many mistakes in the first half. Didn't shoot the ball from three well at all. 6 for 22. Tennessee gets 22 free throws. Baylor only gets 8. So big discrepancy there. But really, you know, it was just Chaz Lanier letting him get off to, you know, a lot of wide open looks. And then also Jordan Gainey, you know, was pretty free, 3 for 6. Those were the difference makers for them, 12 for 27, you know, so Baylor's 3-point shooting defense has not been very good this year, you know, especially in the high profile games.
Yeah. I think the real conversation to be had about this game is on the defensive end, especially with a team like Tennessee, who is there, you know, their bread is not buttered on the offensive end. And there were just shocking moments on the defensive end. I was texting a friend. I compared our defensive strategy thus far, which is why I'm ready to get to the holiday break so we can reassess a few things, kind of to the wide zone, to where if we had the horses, it would work. If I can make a football to basketball analogy, if this was a Jeff Grimes wide zone, if we had the horses, I think that the switch everything, I see it at times, but we're switching so much, switching more than even a traditional switch everything offense does. I remember there was one point where there was a pin down screen and Norchad Omer was expected to guard the guy setting the pin down screen and the screener and the guy that was coming off the flare, and he was kind of supposed to pick up both of those guys, and they, you know, splashed a wide open three. And you know, Josh Ojanwuna is getting a lot of conversation about, you know, okay, giving up a lot of easy putbacks, blocking out. But when you look under the basket, we're switching so much that guys don't know who they're supposed to be putting a body on. No one knows who to pick up. We gave up so many trail threes. I've never seen so many transition, hit the trail guy, hit a three,
Right.
because guys just aren't to the point where they anticipate and know where they're supposed to be. So it's easy to say, oh, we're slow, we're not quick, we're not hustling, we're not trying hard. But I think our defense, we're asking a lot of new players quickly against good competition. And so we've been exposed a few times, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree with all of what you said. Yeah, I do think we have the quickness to be good on
I
defense.
agree. I agree.
It's
And
the, you know, the
I think
communication.
Josh is not, I mean, I think he's an adequate to slightly above average switch everything big
Right,
man. The
right.
problem is the way we're switching, it's so easy to hunt a matchup and expose us. You know, it's just, you just see it like clockwork. Their point guard who's been there a trillion years. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name.
Ziegler, yeah.
Ziegler. You know, he can hunt a screen, they're gonna switch, then he can feed the post on a mismatch, and we either foul or our help comes late. And so if we had been running this system for 2 years and had guys who'd been running this for a couple years, maybe. But I do think we need to simplify, especially for UConn. And maybe over Christmas break when we play some cupcakes, no offense to Arlington Baptist and the like. We can work on some of that stuff, but we don't have the intuition yet, and so we're slow to everything. And so our offense never got to get we could never get out and run in transition. They could grind us out. You know, I think 62 points when they were able to set up every time, so we didn't force a lot of turnovers. They were setting up their defense off scored buckets a lot. I don't think 62 points is an embarrassing number
Right.
given the context. It was just defensively we could not get a stop when we needed one.
Yeah, I mean, on a game that's coming off of a game last night,
Totally.
I kind of expected this game, if Baylor was going to win it, I expected maybe, KenPom, I think, had a 74-71 Tennessee, but I was expecting more of a, like, a 63-57 type of game. And so we probably got there offensively, given the set of circumstances. It's just defensively, and really, it boils down to Chaz Lanier. You don't let him go off for 25 in the first half. It might have been a totally different ball game, but
And that was body language from Scott Drew that I have not seen in a lot. I obviously the scout was not the scout was not read well by the team, because Scott
right.
Drew, it was those were reactions by the coaching staff that I have not seen.
Yeah, he called a timeout after 6-0. I mean, you don't
I
see
know.
that very
Yeah.
often.
Totally.
Yeah.
And our sub patterns were way different than other games. He's definitely trying some stuff, but
Right.
yeah, and it's a bummer because these games in front of VJ, it was like all of our Baylor fans were either the retirees, the donors, or the Bahamanians there to support VJ, and I would have liked to show well for them, but I thought the Baylor crowd, that last night, they were loud and mean sounding, and the Baylor crowd looked great on TV. But yeah, that first half was brutal, just going supernova against us, and no one even near him. It was open gym in there.
Shout out to the Baylor fan that was screaming air ball on every
That was incredible.
game.
And he was right next to a hot mic. And so that was well done. Well placed and well done. Even when we're 25 down, he was committed to the bit.
That was entertaining. All right, let's talk about some of the positive performances.
Yeah, of
Norchad was
course.
good in the second half. He didn't have the greatest first half for sure, but he ends up with 22 points and 10 rebounds.
He's
VJ,
a he is he is a monster. He's got the full.
I mean, we got to play through him, no question.
Yeah.
VJ, shot it better. He was 3 for 6 from three. He did some good things, out of control at times, had a couple turnovers, but really, really high effort, and
Yes.
ends up with 20 points. And
Yeah.
that was impressive. Jaden Nunn was kind of a no-show. Unfortunately, Jeremy Roach was a no-show tonight, pretty much. And then Celestine and Rob Wright didn't have their best games. And then Langston, didn't get much from Langston. He did miss a couple shots that he took. I think hopefully we can get him, against New Orleans and really get him in a groove before that UConn, because he's such an experienced player and I think a smart player that we're going to really need him to play at a high level to be.
I completely agree. And I think VJ, if he's a centerpiece in the offense, he struggles a little bit right now. But if he's a complimentary player that can play off other actions and just rim run and slash, he is really, really, really talented. He will score a lot of points for us if he is just cleaning up slash working off other actions, not the center of attention. His 20 points, a lot of that happened when he was not the show. He was just, passed off another action, kind of had people on the weak side with defenders moving and rotating, and that's when he got to the rim. And so I love him. If we can keep him kind of just in that slashing complimentary role, I think that's the role he needs to play in college, and he can play it oh so well. And he does so many other things that are impressive, just getting steals, havoc plays, that really, really impressive game from him. He doesn't need to be, the offense doesn't need to run through him, but in context of the offense, he will score a lot of points.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, it's a disappointing outcome. I do think if you look at the big picture, we knew that we were going to have some struggles with chemistry out of the gate. The lopsided losses to Gonzaga and Tennessee, a little bit unnerving. Baylor is actually all the way down to 20 and KenPom after that loss. But you're 2-2 in the high profile games. You got an opportunity to perhaps, steal one against UConn. They're going to play, I think, a couple games here that are a little harder, but I'm going to look at their schedule. I think I was looking at their schedule and they weren't really testing themselves like.
And while you look for the schedule, I'll just say, I think, and I was texting you earlier today, I think we got what we needed out of this trip from a net standpoint, from a national perception standpoint. And I was even, I didn't know what Edgecombe's status was for tonight, because he was kind of limping, and then people would say, oh, I saw him walking in the casino, he was limping, and then people say, I saw him warming up, he looks great. And I almost didn't even want to play him to risk something. And so I was willing to punt on this game, because I think that St. John's team is going to be really good. I think that win is going to age really well. I think Arkansas, Calipari teams tend to trend up as the season goes on. I think that win will age well. And so I don't think, in terms of a seeding NCAA tournament standpoint, the sky is falling. I just, before UConn, I would love to simplify the defense a little bit. Maybe switch 1 through 4. If you have Omer as your center and you're playing small ball, switch 1 through 5, or stick to the zone where people know their assignments. Just, we're throwing a lot of different packages out there. I would love to simplify and get consistent in one thing before we start throwing all our wild looks and packages out there. And so that would be, I think if we can do that, then we can show well against UConn, because I really do believe we can score with anyone.
Yeah, I
So
agree.
that's my thoughts for that game.
Yeah, I agree. UConn's actually going to Hawaii. They play Memphis. I think they got a couple other potential tough games there.
Are they, is the Maui Invitational, are they still, is that still running, or was last year the last year of the Maui Gym Maui? I know that there was some confusion about
I
it, that
think, well, I
UT.
know the Maui Invitational is going on, but I don't know where it's being played. Behind us, Civic Center is where UConn's playing. So,
So they're back. That's cool.
yeah.
Yeah.
So
I
is that
love
Maui?
Feast Week is like the best, like, 7 days of sports cumulatively.
Oh
Like,
yeah. No, it's
there's so
great.
much good stuff going on.
Yeah, and hey, we got a great football game to look forward to tomorrow. Baylor
Yeah,
football
amen. Yeah.
really seemed to turn a corner. So, hopefully we have some good stuff to cheer for. Otherwise, tomorrow, I know the women, have a couple games as well. Well, you have a good story. I want you to relay your story about Rick Pitino.
Let me give the Baylor fandom one last gem to tuck you in for the night, and give you just sweet dreams of national champion versus national champion matchup. And Rick Pitino does not ever want to see Scott Drew in the Bahamas ever again. And I heard from a friend who's in the Bahamas, Baylor fan, talking to a drunk St. John's fan, so you know, put everything with a grain of salt here. But he's a big booster guy, and you could tell he was a big booster. And he said that he had had breakfast with Rick Pitino that morning. And he said, other than the Christian Laettner buzzer beater, that was the most heartbroken Pitino had ever been after a game, because he really wants to build something at St. John's, and he really felt like that was a moment that slipped away. And so, you know, if all else failed these last 2 days, at least we put one of the slimiest dudes in the sport, who was calling our coach slimy, which is the most comical thing I'd ever heard in my entire life. The most embarrassing post-game presser I've ever listened to from a Pettigrew
Oh, it
coach
was so
in my
bad.
life.
I mean, like, well, I mean, first of all, he was throwing major shade about like
Oh,
checking for a high elbow. I
which is the most common run-of-the-mill
everybody
milquetoast
does
thing to
that.
ask
And
for a ref.
in that situation, 99.9% of the coaches would do exactly what Scott Drew did. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm kind of out on the Ion College basketball guys a little bit after some of their kind of like a seedier little under like little inside jokes. But their podcast today, they spent about 15 minutes clowning on Pitino for trying to dunk on, you know, the biggest saint in the sport, Scott
Yeah.
Drew. And so
Okay. Well, I need to
he,
listen to that. I mean, well,
yeah, it was a good
they
one.
should clown on him because that was just so ridiculous. And then, then of course he's casting aspersions on the time, the clock to get that shot off as well. So
Throwing rocks from a glass house. And also just
yeah.
he's forgetting that we gave that game away multiple times to even get to that point. And
For
so,
sure. For sure.
yeah, that was
Yeah, no,
wild.
that was delicious to hear him whining, but the rivalry between Rick Barnes and Scott Drew isn't quite what it used to be. I know they're,
I
close and
know.
close and work on
I
a lot
know.
of Christian charity
Well,
mission stuff together.
Tennessee has, I don't know if any of the if y'all are on a TikTok, but the biggest TikTok college to college evangelist like shared the gospel with the whole Tennessee team a couple weeks ago. So, you know, hey, Rick Barnes has turned over a leaf. He's on a new page of his career, and he seems like one of the good ones now, even though he was insecure about Scott Drew during Scott Drew's rise when he was Texas coach. I would like to say two things about the board that I've been reading that I want to mention, I want to highlight, and maybe dunk on so they're not brought up ever again. I don't think Trey Johnson would fix what ails us as a basketball team.
No.
I think if you say that, you are kind of exposing yourself just a smidge. And also to a former Sick of 365, you know, kind of affiliate who's now doing his own thing on Twitter, shooting free throws in an open gym is not the same as shooting free throws in double overtime.
Oh
Just,
yeah,
it's a
no question.
slightly different thing. And if you haven't been there, you wouldn't know that, but it's just not quite being able to hit like five free throws in a row at the slick is not the same as hitting them in double OT when your legs have left you up. So now that
Yeah.
I've gotten that off my chest, we're good to go.
Yeah, you play two teams like St. John's and Tennessee, and it's going to be a different animal. Like I've been watching some Florida Atlantic, and I think they play, pretty nice, beautiful offense for the most part. But same similar deal, today against Drake, their offense really struggled, and I mean it's just a different deal. When you get tired and you're shooting free throws when you're tired, it's like you said, it's not as easy as it looks. Yeah, these guys, almost every one of them can make, 90 out of 100 or plus free throws if they're just shooting in an empty gym. But once you add into the equation, it's a different deal.
Well, do you remember, and I'm gonna go way back and date myself, do you remember that video of Javon Crump where he hit like 30
Oh,
threes in a
yeah.
row?
Oh,
And it
yeah.
was like, so and he was a great shooter, but it's a different thing. These guys, college NCAA Division I college basketball players are filling it up in
Right.
open gym. So
Right. Yeah, no question.
but yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's a great story about Patino, and I believe it. That's a little dramatic to call a game in November, that impactful as a, game that bounced him out of the tourney in spectacular fashion. But he's had two of them to Baylor, and I'm sure this one, feels every bit as painful as that one in, 2016 did, 2017, 2016 season, right?
Jonathan Motley and King McClure, those
Yep.
Clemson in the neons.
Well,
We're stunning on teams in the neons.
this is the first time in a long time we haven't won a tournament that I can remember.
Oh, that's
We
true.
seem to do really well with these types of tournaments, but we met a really good team tonight, and they took care of business, and you know, looked every bit the part of the number one defense in the country. That's for sure. You know, they, I mean, that is their DNA. They play, you know, really aggressive, hard-nosed defense. And they seem to be a team that, you know, does really well at the beginning of a season. And, you know,
That's what I was gonna say. That's Baylor teams. We are not gonna peak in November this
right.
year, which
Yeah.
is for the best.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Yeah.
is yeah.
I'm excited to see Langston get back in the groove and hopefully start hitting threes
Yeah.
and
Yeah, we need him. You
drive
can
and
tell he's rusty just by how he's like throwing passes when he's swinging around the
sure.
perimeter. He's getting back used to game speed. But
Right.
if we're gonna play small ball, and I think we can, we have to have him.
Yeah.
And so I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
Yeah.
hey, thank you for doing this. Always less fun to do it after a loss, but we knew this was a
Hey.
potential outcome. And you've been listening to a Sic'em 365 post game podcast with Ashley Hodge and Sam Taylor, Sic'em Bears.
Take them.
All right, Sam, let me okay. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Yeah.
All
Yeah,
right.
sure thing. You have a good one, Ashley.
All right,
Bye.
take care. Bye.